The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. We are leading into a huge weekend in the Limestone Coast that will see Santa make an appearance in Narracourt. I'm going to give you more details on that soon. Troy Bell has been in Adelaide in Parliament this week, and what a strange week it has been in politics. And Dean Zevin is going to tell us all about Crank the Crater. It's on this weekend. Don't forget, for a full list of what is happening in the Limestone Coast this weekend, check out the Mount Gambier local guide on the Listener app. Now, let's get things underway. Santa is coming to Narracourt. It's all going to take place tonight. I got Brett on the line from the Narracourt Business and Tourism Association. He joins me for a chat. Brett, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Christmas fast approaching. Christmas parade is this weekend. What's going on?
So Friday night, we're holding it in the Narracourt Showgrounds this year due to COVID. As it has messed with a lot of things, it's going to be a lot easier for us to have everyone check in through the two entrances. We've got the Christmas parade that'll go around the oval there, and then we've got a bit of an after party with some entertainment, a number of food stalls, a bit of wine tasting. There'll be a bar, a lot of family entertainment. We've also got some neon lights that we there, as kids can't have photos with Santa, we're giving them the options of getting some photos with some different neon designs.
How cool is that, by the way?
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. Something different. We haven't had them before at a pageant. So, yeah, just trying a couple of different things. We managed to get some sponsorship out of the council and a couple of local businesses as well.
And, Brett, will we see an appearance by Father Christmas?
You will see an appearance by Father Christmas. It wouldn't be the pageant without that.
What time is things going to get underway? How can people make sure that they are at the showgrounds for the pageant this year?
So kicking off from 5 o'clock with the activity starting then. We've got circus elements. I think there's a magician and a few other things happening. And the parade will kick off from 7 and then we straight into the after party post the parade finishing.
Hey, Brett, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. It'll be great to see people from all over the Limestone Coast head up to Narracourt to be part of the Christmas pageant. Thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Thank you.
It is going to be a great night tonight at the Narracourt Showgrounds if you'd like to go along. Now, talking politics, Troy Bell, the member for Mount Gambier, he joins me for a chat talking cross borders, what's been going on in Adelaide and so much more. G'day, mate.
Good morning, Ewan.
Mate, first topic to discuss is border passes, and boy, is it hard to get a border pass, especially if you're an older Aussie or not tech savvy in the Limestone Coast.
Absolutely. Just another ill-thought-out process by SA Health and the state government. I mean, it's quite unbelievable the response that we've had from some of the bureaucrats that, you know, if people don't have a mobile phone or are not tech savvy, and quite honestly, I've tried to download my digital vaccination certificate, and it is actually quite difficult to do. Their attitude is, well, too bad. You're not travelling across the state border. It's really unbelievable. And, you know, I need to commend the staff in my office who have just been working absolutely flat out, and people at the library who also, you know, are helping people to download the app and then and put the vaccination certificate on their app. But really, the state government has had a long time to prepare this, and I guess I'm disappointed in the process, but I'm really disappointed in their attitude to normally elderly people or people who are not that tech savvy. There's just seems to be no care or concern from the bureaucrats living in Adelaide.
I must admit, I did say on radio yesterday that I wish that Steve maybe at some stage worked out how untech savvy everybody was, and maybe found himself in the same situation at some point. But it doesn't alleviate the problem and the stress for people who are trying to cross the border at the moment. Yesterday, you introduced us to an 80-year-old who was having these issues. My mum, at the age of almost 80, is the same. She would never have been able to get a cross-border pass without my help. And even then, we're getting spurious emails from the state government going, you're supposed to have crossed the border yesterday. Log in. And we live here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there are a number of people who actually don't have, you know, younger people around them or family here. Jack, who was happy for us to share his story just to highlight, and I've highlighted Jack's story with the state government, but, you know, he doesn't have anybody else to help him. All his friends are the same age as him, you know, late 70s, 80s and beyond. Mm. So it is incredibly difficult. And, any of your listeners out there that find themselves in that situation, come into our office. We'll do our best to sit down and help. There's also the Mount Gambier Libraries offering assistance as well. So we are there to help. And I also need to, you know, apologise to other people. There's a backlog of issues that I'm trying to deal with, but we're just getting snowed under at the moment. It's quite incredible.
It's been a busy week in the world of state parliament, and Christmas penalty rates has been one of those big topics of discussion.
Penalty rates, very disappointed that the Liberal and Labor parties couldn't come to an agreement. I put an amendment forward which would have ensured that people who work on Christmas Day got paid penalty rates for that day, Christmas Day. If Liberal and Labor couldn't agree, went to a deadlock conference between the upper house and lower house, and again, couldn't be sorted out there. So in actual fact, the bill lapsed, which means that people don't get paid penalty rates for Christmas Day. They do get paid penalty rates Christmas Eve from 7 p.m. till midnight on the Sunday, which is the Boxing Day, on the Monday, which is the public holiday in South Australia for Christmas Day when it falls on a Saturday, and the Tuesday as well. So there are 3.5 days of penalty rates over that period of time, but the disappointing thing for me is those who actually work Christmas Day don't get paid penalty rates for that day.
And Troy, without me trying not to swear on radio, is it a case of both parties not coming together, or both parties playing party politics so that they don't have to do it?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Parliament is meant to at the best of times, but just before an election, it really, you know, goes into hyperdrive in terms of probably working together and the partisan politics, because both sides obviously want to win an election, which is in March next year, and you know there's no cooperation, limited cooperation, and certainly more aggression and you know stubbornness before an election. So the worst time to be in politics really is probably just before an election cycle, because both sides will take any advantage, and it really probably brings the tone of the whole place down, to be honest with you. But that's what it is.
And made even more difficult this week with a COVID outbreak and the last sitting days that I understand before the election.
That's right. So yesterday was the last sitting day. That's not unusual. It, you know, in 2013 and 2017, it was around this time. In fact, the Libs pointed out last night that this year they've sat more than any previous time in the year before the election. So, COVID certainly a big issue, and you know we're going to have to start learning to live with it. And the numbers that get published every day are just going to keep increasing. Mm. The concern for businesses, particularly those who you know operate in regional areas and also coastal communities, that the Christmas period is their busiest time, and
you know, it's deemed a close contact if somebody was in your premise for more than 15 minutes. And you start thinking about that, well, that's most cafes, pubs, restaurants, basically the hospitality sector. And, you know, I'm now trying to work with a number of businesses who are very concerned that whilst there's no lockdown of their business, if they lose their staff for 7 days, for every time there's a close contact deemed for their premise, that effectively, if they haven't got the staff, they've got to shut the business down. So this all coming on the back of what they were hoping was going to be a good trading season and a Christmas period where they could finally get back on their feet. And many of them are telling me that if they cop, you know, 14, 21 day effective lockdowns because their staff are having to self-isolate, that they'll be shutting the doors for good. And, you know, that means more people out of work and less businesses around our region. So it is deeply concerning. I've tried to work with the government and say, well, you know, listen, we've got to keep people safe. Everyone agrees with that. But if it's a close contact, why can't we have it that they have to self-isolate until their COVID test comes back negative, and then they can go back to work and effectively keep businesses open? If they haven't got COVID, they should be, and they're double vaccinated, they should be able to return to work. Because the other factor of this is the workers are not working for 7 days and they're a casual, which, you know, they are not getting paid. So there's going to be a lot of families out there with no income coming in because mum or dad or their, you know, children aren't getting paid because they're isolating every 7 days. So this has got a bit to go, and you know, we're trying to use an approach when the government was trying to keep COVID out of South Australia, trying to use that same approach to a living with COVID approach, which as soon as the borders come down and you allow essentially free travel, you're going to have to start learning to live with COVID. And that's the difference that I see at the moment, and a challenge that we've got. And we've got to get it sorted pretty quickly before businesses go under.
We're going to see more numbers today when it comes to close contacts. We're probably going to be talking about the transition committee and our cross-border community over the course of the next couple of days, depending on what happens with Omicron. So no doubt, mate, you and I are going to talk more. Thanks for joining us this morning to chat, though, about what's been going on in Parliament.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Ewan. Have a great day.
Member for Mount Gambier, Troy Bell, talking all things state politics. Now, Crank the Crater is on this weekend. Dean Zevin is the man who knows all about it. G'day, Dean.
Good morning, Ewan.
Hey, Dean, how many years has Crank the Crater been going for now?
This is a new event, and this is our third year, 3 years in a row that we've had it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to a bigger and better event this year.
How long does it take somebody to get from the bottom of the Valley Lake up to the car park underneath Centenary Tower?
Well, it took me the last 2 years, 5 minutes and 21 seconds. Our fastest rider was Nick Kidman, who got up there in about 4.5 minutes, roughly. And my wife got up there in just over 8 minutes last year. And she's not a rider, so, yeah, she had a crack.
Now, mate, this is an event for anybody who would like to have a little bit of fun. Doesn't matter how fast or how slow you get up that hill. It's all about, you know, giving it a crack and giving yourself a challenge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so when you get to the top, we'll give you a certificate with your time on it so that you can look at to see if you can try to improve on that next year. But you're only going up at the speed that you're comfortable with. You're not racing against anybody else. And you can use any type of bike you like. Most people use a road bike, but you can use a BMX, like we had a couple of BMX riders last year.
Oh, that would have been hard.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they did say that they're going to come back with bikes with bigger wheels next year. And we had some mountain bikers give it a crack as well. So it was good to see a variety of bikes. But, yeah, it was tough for the BMX bikes to get up there.
And, Dean, once again, is it for all ages as well?
Yes, it is, for sure. Yeah, it's because it's a bit of a climb, you have to have a little bit of fitness, but otherwise, yeah, it's safe to go up. We're closing the roads down so there'll be no cars, so it'll be safe for all ages to go up the hill.
I can't get halfway up, jump off my bike and just walk the rest of the way, can I?
Yeah, well, you sure can.
Oh, I think that's the way I'd have to do it. Believe me, I'm not sure I'd get up that hill at all these days. Dean, how can people take part in Crank the Crater this weekend?
So they can just turn up on Sunday morning and sign up and pay the $5 entry fee. And that will get them a number and a time to start. And we're going to go up in 2 minute intervals so that you're not racing against somebody else. Or you can go on to the Ride Nation website, search for Mount Gambier, and you'll find Crank the Crater event on there and register online if you like. But it is this Sunday, so you might not have a lot of time to do that. So the best bet might just be to turn up on the day.
Dean, it blows me away that you got up that hill in 5 minutes flat, mate. I'm not sure I could drive up it in that. It's going to be a great event, though, this weekend, and I take my hat off to anybody who wants to have a crack at cranking the crater.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. We've already got a number of community members signed up, so, yeah, the more the merrier.
Dean, great to talk to you this morning, mate. Good luck this weekend.
Yep, don't forget, it get there about 8 o'clock for an 8.30 start, so or a little bit later. We'll be running it all the way through to about 11.30, 12 o'clock.
That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday for everything Limestone Coast. Don't forget to catch up with everything happening across the Limestone Coast. Make sure you look out for the Mount Gambier local guide on Listener. You can catch up with me live on the radio, 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.